Philippians chapter 4, verse 21. We are at the end of our study in Philippians. We're down to the last three verses. And when you read the verses, at first you may think, well, how in the world are you going to get a sermon out of that? Well, I did. Okay? So I want to start out by just reading it. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And when it says greet in the original, it's an imperative. It means do it. And so Paul's saying, greet every saint. And you know, I know we have a lot of people with a lot of different religious backgrounds, and some of you may have come from a tradition where there's saints, and you have to qualify to be a saint. Well, the only qualification you really need from a biblical point of view is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you are, you're a saint. You're a holy one, is what it really means. And so it says, greet every saint, which means every one of you, greet every one of you in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of the Caesar's household. And the reason he's saying that is because, can you imagine what it's like to be handcuffed or shackled to Paul the Apostle? That meant that they heard the gospel all day long and every day until they finally gave in. And pretty soon, a lot of the soldiers were Christians. A lot of the visitors who would come in are Christians. And so he wants them to know, let all the saints greet you, but especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You know, I have a friend in Grand Rapids, and we feel close to each other. In fact, I might even say in some senses we're almost like soulmates. From the very first time we talked to each other, we just kind of talked the same language. And yet, I hardly ever see him, and he hardly ever sees me. A lot of times, even when I go to Grand Rapids, I don't even look him up because I'm too busy or he's too busy or whatever. And so a lot of time passes when in terms of being able to see each other. But and yet, at the same time, I have this connection with him. Do you know somebody like that in your life? I just have that connection. And one of our visits years ago, I said to him at the beginning of our conversation, I am so sorry, Jim, that I have not kept up writing you or emailing you or whatever. And he looked me straight in the eyes and said, let's not go there. When we see each other, let's have a great time. Let's not regret anything or not regret keeping in touch, because life is too short to worry about those kind of things. We love each other, and we know we love each other, but we have ministries to run, and so let's just enjoy it with no apologies or no regrets. And I thought about that. And I never forgot what he said. Because it's such a healthy, refreshing outlook, isn't it? Wouldn't you love it if you never had to apologize for not keeping up with the relationship? That you could just have the relationship when it's there. Thank you, sweetie. Loving people is doing what's best for them, and many people would entertain the opposite view of what I just stated. They would demand from you and me that we fill their lives with happiness and contentment and conversation and be their best friends with no concept of what it would really take in their lives to be a best friend. Without the investment that it takes, like telling the truth to each other or having squabbles or confrontations or rough patches or good times, the time spent in order to be that good friend. Excuse me, somewhere my grandkids